Open your Bible to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 22 and 23. We read these verses last time. Let's read them and then we'll pray. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I pray for special help, that you would give me clarity in my mind, what to say and speak to edify and help your people. Help me, Lord, to speak of the things that you've shown me, that you've taught me. Help me, Lord, to unfold Christ in all of his perfection, in all of his beauty, in all of his glory. Help me, Lord, to speak of things of salvation, of the higher life, walking with you. Father, we are your sheep, and we need you to guide us as our shepherd. We need you to feed us. And I pray that you would use this time for your glory. Lord, please, I pray that the devil would not steal this word away from the hearers today. Open my mouth and open the ears of everyone sitting in these seats, that they would hear your word, understand, believe it, receive it, and be changed by it. You are a great God. Oh Lord, we need you so much. I pray, guide us, help us, in Jesus' name, amen. Today I'm going to speak about the subject of joy. 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on. Last week I spoke about love, and this week I'm going to speak about joy. These are the fruit of the Spirit. These are, at first glance, they look like small things, but they're very big. They're very powerful. They're very heavenly. These things are from God. This is the way that God is. To be a truly joy-filled person is to be a holy person. And so today, this subject that I'm going to speak about, this is not, if you've never read Galatians chapter 5, you might think, joy, I know what joy is. Love, I know what love is. But chances are, if you've never read this before, if you've never deeply understood the Bible, the love and the joy that you know in this world is not the true love and joy that comes from God, that comes through the Holy Spirit after someone is saved. So let me back up a minute and explain a little bit about the gospel. We were reading, and I was preaching for the last few months, about God's laws that God has a law that everyone must obey and everyone must follow. Just like the government has laws, kings have laws, maybe even your parents have laws that you have to obey. God has the highest laws. And the Bible says this, every man, every woman, every child is a sinner. And they do bad things. And they break the law many times in their life. And they're guilty. And their sin gets bigger and bigger, like a burden on their back that gets heavier and heavier. And if we die, when we die, for all men will die, we will stand before God who made us, and we will give an account. We will have to be honest and speak the truth about the way we lived our life. And if we are sinners, then God will not receive us. God is holy. God does not receive sinners. God is pure and clean. If our life is full of wickedness, the Bible says God hates sin and will destroy all evil. On Judgment Day, when Jesus comes back, he is not his first coming. The first time Jesus came, he came very humbly. He came with patience and love and mercy. But the second time Jesus returns, it says that on that day, judgment will be merciless. There will not be mercy. It will be a day of righteous judgment. Every sin will be punished. And this is the problem. All men are sinners. You are a sinner. If you are not in Christ, if you are not a true Christian covered by the blood, then your sins are like a heavy burden on your back. And you will have to give an answer one day. The gospel, the good news, is this. Jesus Christ became a curse for us. He took the curse of God's law. If you break the law says you will die. If you sin against God, the law says you will be cast into the lake of fire. But Jesus, on the cross, became a curse for us. He took the curse of the law upon himself. He took all the punishment of the law upon himself that sinners could be saved. And if someone believes in Christ fully with their heart and they give their life to him, they put their soul, their heart in his hands forever, I will trust only in Jesus Christ. I will belong to Jesus Christ. I will be married to Jesus Christ. I need him. I believe in him. I want him. If a person does that, the Bible says that God will accept them as his child. Those that believe in Jesus with their mind, with their heart, become one with Jesus Christ. And so Jesus did two things. He died on the cross and he rose again. His death erases all of our sin. His death is a sacrifice to wash away all of our sin. But there's something else. He rose from the dead. What does that mean? Why is that important? He didn't just die and then disappear and go to heaven. No, he came back to life with power and glory and beauty. Why does that matter? Because what we're reading about today is something very amazing. I said 2 weeks ago, being a Christian is not just forgiveness of sin. That's the first thing. That's the first blessing. God washes away our sin. We're clean. He's not angry with us. He's not going to punish us. He loves us. But being a Christian, if someone is saved and born again, do you know what happens? The Holy Spirit lives in them. The Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus came out of the dead, came out of the grave and was alive, when someone believes in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in them and they come to life. They have a new life. They have a new behavior. They have a new character. They have a new habit, a new lifestyle, new choices, new desires. Their whole life has changed. They become a new person. And today, what we're reading are the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. These are the things that you will see when someone gets saved. You say, well, there's a lot of people that aren't Christians and they have love, they have joy and peace. No, they don't. If you truly understand what I'm saying today, you will realize this is only for the person that has the Holy Spirit. You will not find true love, joy, or peace in any lost person. If they are sinners and they are not saved by Christ, they are still fighting a war with God. They're still pushing away from God. They may love their family. They may love their kids, their children, but they don't love God. And they don't love His people, and they don't love the Bible. They don't have the true love. They don't have the deep joy. This is a miracle. Do you have this in your life? Are you born again? A lot of people, they'll say with their mouth, I'm a Christian. I was born in a Christian family. But they don't have the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit? There's a lot of people, they say, oh, I have the Holy Spirit. I go to a church, charismatic church. We speak in tongues. We sing all these wild songs. We dance and we laugh and people are casting out demons and healing through prayer and doing miracles. That's not the true sign of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can do miracles. The Holy Spirit can heal people that are sick. The Holy Spirit can do amazing things. But the true sign, the true evidence and proof that someone has the Holy Spirit is right here. The fruit. Love, joy, peace, and patience. And these things. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Have you ever become a new person in Jesus Christ? Or have you simply been born in a Christian family? Or been around Christian friends? Or you go to a Christian church? I met a girl the other day at the park. She said, there's a ministry near the rock quarry. I go to this ministry on many Sundays. I go. I'm a Hindu. Or no, she's a Muslim. I'm Muslim. But I go to this church and I feel so much peace when I go. She's not believed in Christ. She has not left Islam. She's still following Islam, still in the world. But she says she feels peace in her heart. Many people, with their mouth, they say, I like Jesus. I respect Christianity. I believe the Bible. Or, I'm a Christian. But their heart is the same that it's always been. From the time you're born, your heart is a bad heart, a black heart, a sinful heart. We're not born innocent. We're not born righteous. We're born sinners. And you have to be changed by God. God can do this. Jesus Christ can forgive all sin in your life. And the Holy Spirit can change your heart and give you this new fruit. Now, let me make mention again of some things I said last week. It says in verse 23, against such things there is no law. Let me repeat. Why does this matter? Because many people think, okay, the Bible says don't murder, don't steal, don't lie, don't commit adultery or do sexual sin. So I'll stay far away from that. I'm not going to drink alcohol. I'm not going to sleep or chase with all these guys and girls. I'm not going to live a sinful life, so God will be happy with me. That's not true holiness. True holiness is not just looking at the law and trying to not sin. Like, these things are bad, so I want to avoid them. That's not true holiness. many people, they avoid sin, but their heart is the same. They want to do the sin. They like the way the world is, but they're too afraid to actually do it. They don't have the courage to do the sin because they're afraid they'll get punished. That's not holiness. Holiness is right here, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. If you love God and you love Christians and you love lost people and you love every person you see, if you have joy all the time because of Jesus Christ, if you have true peace in your heart, if you have these things, then you will live a truly holy life, because it's not the law from the outside pushing you and pressing you and putting pressure for you to obey. It's inside. You want to obey. You want to follow God. You like to pray. You like to read the Bible. You like going to the church. No one is forcing you to go. Your parents aren't forcing you to go. You love God truly from the heart. And it comes out like fruit coming out of a tree. If you live that way, it says in verse 23, against this kind of fruit there is no law. That means you will never break the law. You will never sin. You will never do anything wrong if you simply walk in love, joy, peace, and patience, and so on. So I'm saying these things are more important than the do's and don'ts of the law. Those things are right. Those things are good. They teach us about sin and about righteousness. But that's not how the Christian lives his life. He's helped by them. He's warned by them. His mind is clarified by them. But the Christian has a new desire to obey God from the heart. We become, the Bible says, slaves of righteousness. Before you're saved, you're a slave of sin. You like sin. You enjoy it. Sin is your master, and you do what it says. After you're saved, you become a slave of righteousness. What does that mean? Are you a slave of Jesus Christ? Could you write that honestly on a piece of paper? I am a slave of Jesus Christ. Could you sign your name? Can you write, I am a slave of righteousness. I must do this. This is my master. This is my life. This is everything to me. It means not like it's pushing down upon you in a hard way. The Bible says God's commands are not a burden to us. They're not heavy. They're in our heart. They make us happy. It's happiness for the Christian to worship God. It's natural. It's what he wants to do. It's his new nature. And if you live that way, there is no law that you will break. If you love people and you love God and you have true joy, you will live a very holy life. Most people get it all wrong. They skip these things. Let me say something else. It says fruit of the Spirit. It says deeds of the flesh, which means works of the flesh. Those are obvious, like anger and sexual immorality and greed and so on. Those are works of the flesh. But it doesn't say works of the Spirit or deeds of the Spirit or laws of the Spirit. Why does it say fruit? Because fruit is something that's natural. It comes out automatically. It's not produced by us. It's produced by the Holy Spirit that lives in us. You see, if you've never been born again, you can try and try and try to be good. You can try to be a good Christian. You can try to follow the Bible, but you won't be able to. It's like a tree. Let's say, I don't know, let's just say it's a normal tree. It's not a fruit tree. In America, we have oak trees and pine trees and cedar trees. You're not going to find apples on an oak tree. You're not going to find bananas on a cedar tree. Even if the tree tries very hard, no fruit will come. In the same way, if your sins have not been forgiven, you've never confessed your sin, you've never repented, you've never believed in Christ, and the Holy Spirit is not in you, You can try for 10 years. You'll never be able to love God from your heart. First, you must bow to Jesus Christ. He will save you. He will put the Spirit in you, and then it will be natural. The fruit will come. Slowly, maybe, but it will come. Do you have the fruit of the Spirit? It's a proof of who's a true Christian and who's a false Christian. Jesus said, "You will know them by their fruit." Is the fruit of your life good or bad? You have bad fruit in your life, like anger, pride, sexual sin, greed, selfishness. You don't love God. That's bad fruit. If you live that way, be sure you don't have the Holy Spirit. So last time I spent a lot of time talking about love, but today I want to talk about joy. Now let me repeat, my purpose in this mainly, primarily, first, is to help the Christian. Because I want you, if you're saved, if you're maybe you're a new Christian, I want you to realize these things are very sweet to God. Like sweet fruit. These things are really good. They're really holy. This is what God wants from your life. He doesn't want you, maybe, he doesn't want you to be some big preacher or be some powerful person and do all these miracles. But I know this. Every person, from every person, he wants you to have this fruit. And today, joy. He wants you to have joy in your life. True joy. God is a joyful God. The Bible says, in your presence is fullness of joy. God is very happy. God is very joyful. Joy is good. Sadness is not. In hell is sadness. In heaven is joy. The Christian has joy. The lost man does not have true joy. He has vanity. He has emptiness. He has sorrow. The sorrows of the wicked will be multiplied. The way of the transgressor is hard. But the path of the Christian is brighter and brighter. The path of the Christian, it's not a burden on his back. It's rest. It's joy in Christ. Come to me. I will give you rest, Jesus said. When Jesus saves us, he gives us joy. A joy that is supernatural. So, what is joy? What is joy? And then let's talk about what are some examples of joy in the Bible? Who had joy that we find in the Scriptures? And then I want to make some application about joy, some advantages to having joy and some application. So first, what is joy? Well, joy is an easy word. Everyone should know this word. It just means to be happy. Are you happy? That's what joy is. If someone is joyful, they're a happy person. If someone is smiling, unless they're trying to pretend or fake or be a hypocrite. If someone's smiling, they're happy. They have joy. To be glad. These are words, the Bible uses them all. But I want to say something. Defining joy. Joy is very easy. It means you're not sad, you're happy. But there is a kind of joy that does not come from the Spirit. And there is a kind of joy that's from God. There is a, just like last week, there's a worldly kind of love that is very shallow, very selfish. But there is a true love. And so in the Bible, there is a true joy. What is the world's joy? The world's joy is in all of the normal things of life. People have money, so they're happy. People have good food, so they're happy. People have a family and children, education, they have a house, they have a car, so they have joy. And if you take those things away, they lose their joy. That's not true joy. True joy that God gives is very deep, and it's not centered on the things of the world. The Bible says, do not love the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He doesn't know the true love. Don't get happiness from the world. Get your happiness from God. Let me put it like this. If you're happy and you have joy, usually you have friends. Well, who are your friends? The closest friend that you need to have in life is Jesus Christ. If you have him as your friend, you'll have this true joy that the Bible talks about. If you just have your friends in the world, in non-Christians, in lost people, you won't have real joy. You'll feel your life will go up and down like this. Your life is vain. And when you die, you will lose everything. Your joy is not real. Your joy will not last. The true joy, lasting joy, is when you are friends with God. If you are the friend of God, then you'll have true joy. So, hear me. What I'm saying is, you need joy, but you need the right kind of joy. The joy that comes from Him, from Christ, from the Bible, from salvation, from being with Christians in fellowship, from prayer, from faith, these heavenly things. Not the worldly things. Do you have that kind of joy? Let me ask you a question. When you read the Bible, do you read the Bible? Ever? When you read the Bible, do you feel happy? Or do you feel bored? Do you have any joy in the Word of God? You say, oh, I have a lot of joy in God. Well, do you have joy in the Word of God? Many people don't read it because they don't find any joy in it. Because the Holy Spirit is not in them. That's why they don't appreciate it. That's why it's boring for them. Be very careful. Children, you like to play games. Do you like to be with God? There's a joy that comes from playing games. There's a joy that for adults comes from business or their family. But there is a special joy that comes from talking with God, from listening to God, from sitting at His feet. That's the joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. And it is true joy. It lifts us up. So what are some examples in the Bible? Well, we read in the Old Testament, there was a time when the Israelites were in Egypt. And Pharaoh was oppressing them. And Pharaoh was beating them. And Pharaoh was making them work as slaves. And their life was hard. And they began to cry out and pray, oh God, deliver us. Oh God, look at our suffering. We've been slaves for 400 years in Egypt. And they're telling us to kill our sons and throw them in the river. And they're telling us to make bricks and they don't give us straw. Oh Lord, and it said the Lord heard their groaning. And they're crying. They didn't have joy. They were crushed. They were persecuted. They wanted joy. They wanted to be free. And you know what God did? He sent Moses. Moses was the deliverer. Moses came with Aaron and they did mighty miracles. And they brought out Israel from Egypt. And they crossed the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea. They walked through. And when they made it to the other side, who was following them? Pharaoh and his army. Pharaoh and his army, the king, they were going to kill the Israelites for escaping. And they chased them through the Red Sea, and it said God brought the waters back over them, and they all drowned, and they all died. And they looked, and there wasn't one Egyptian left alive. They all drowned in the sea. And you know what they did? They started singing, they started dancing, they started clapping their hands, Moses' sister, she took a tambourine and she started banging her tambourine and they started singing. Why? They had joy. They were happy. God saved us. He delivered us. Pharaoh is dead. The Egyptians are dead. We're free. And now they could go to their new country. Do you have that joy? If you're a Christian, you do. Do you know why? Because Jesus Christ saved you from the devil, and he saved you from sin, and you're free. Every Christian was under the devil's power. Every Christian was being beaten by sin and the devil, a miserable life. It's very terrifying. It's very awful if a lost person is happy in their sin. That means they don't understand. But those of us that have been awakened, we realize we're sinners. We're going to hell. The devil is working in our life. I can't get free. What can I do? God, save me. God, help me. And just like Moses came to save the people, Jesus came. And he saved us. And just like they came through the Red Sea and the enemy was destroyed, so at the cross, Jesus Christ conquered the devil, conquered our sins, set us free from death and hell. And now, like Moses and like his sister, we sing, we dance, we're happy because we're free. Do you know the joy that comes from being forgiven of sin, from being a Christian? This is part of the fruit of the Spirit. When someone is saved, they're not just bored like, oh, I'm a Christian now. I took baptism. That's not what it looks like. When someone's saved, they're happy. They want to tell their friends. They want to tell their family. They want to sing. They want to sing new songs. They want to write songs. They want to learn songs because God saved me. God rescued me. I will never go back to my old life. I will never go back to Egypt. I am free. Jesus said this, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you. Which means, don't get your joy from ministry. He said, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice in salvation. Rejoice that God is your friend. I meet a lot of people, when I talk to them, they say, I'm a Christian. And very quickly, they start telling me all about their ministry. And sometimes I just feel like, I don't care about that. How did God save you? Do you love Christ? Are you thankful that he washed away your sins? It's like they skip over salvation. Well, that's a small thing. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I was born in a Christian family. That's really small. But let me tell you about the ministry that I do. Jesus said, don't rejoice in that. A true Christian will rejoice that my name is written in God's book in heaven. And on judgment day, my name is not going to be written with all the sinners and all the sins that I've done. All that's been erased. My name is in the Lamb's book of life. When he comes for me, my name will be there with all the other Christians' names. And he will search for me and he will find me and he will take me to be with him, his family. That is the true Christian's joy. Do you have that joy? Are you happy that your name is written in heaven? That is one way, one example of joy in the Bible. We also see the same thing if we keep reading other examples, like when they would go out to battle and they would defeat their enemies. Like Deborah. Deborah was the woman judge. And Barak was the commander, the man in the army. They went out, they conquered the enemy, and they came back singing and rejoicing. So it is in the Christian life. We have joy as not only have we been set free from the devil, but we actively, day by day, we take more ground. We conquer the land. We conquer enemies. We overcome sin in our life. We grow. And there is a joy in that. When we see God at work in us, it causes us to rejoice. Lord, it's only been 2-3 years since I've been saved, But look at all the victories you've given me, not just the first day, but a week later, and then a month later, and then the next year. Many battles I have fought, and you have been with me, and you've given me victory. The Christian can take joy in this, that God is his banner, that God is his captain, that God is with him, fighting against sin, resisting the enemy, growing in grace. Do you know that joy of growth in the Christian life, of God putting sin to death in you? It is joyful when he tears these things, these bad things, away from our life. It gives us joy. Lost people, they get joy when they move up in their company, when they move up in their school, when they move up in their business. The Christian gets joy not from that. He gets joy when he moves up in the spiritual life. He's taking one step farther down the road. He's going higher and higher. The call, the upward call of God. The closer we get to heaven, every day that goes by, our joy is renewed. He's coming soon. I've passed 10 years in the Christian life. I've passed 15 years in the Christian life. I've got a little while to go, but I will be with him soon. The Christian has joy. He thinks about heaven. He thinks about God's word. He thinks about his brothers and sisters in Christ. He gets his joy from these things. Another example of joy in the Bible was John the Baptist. Do you remember John the Baptist? Preacher in the wilderness, preaching repentance, people coming, taking baptism. And then Jesus comes, and he's very happy. And Jesus starts to be so well known, so recognized, that all the people start following Jesus. Very few people are with John. And they say, "Isn't this a problem?" And he says, "No." He says, "I am the friend of the bridegroom, and I rejoice to hear his voice." It means this. When John looked at Jesus Christ, he had joy. Do you feel that way? When you look at Christ, does it make you happy? Does the Spirit work a joy in you when you think about the Son of God becoming a man, living a perfect life, showing such examples of love and righteousness, dying for our sins, rising again, going to heaven, building his church? When you think about Christ, does it bring a joy in your heart? John didn't care about his ministry. "Take my ministry away." Good. "I'm happy that now the bridegroom has come. And I'm the friend of the bridegroom, and I rejoice to hear his voice." Do you know that? Because Christian, listen. If you have joy in Christ, and you have joy in salvation, and you have joy in growth in the Christian life, and the things of the kingdom of God, your life will be holy. That joy you have, it's not coming from the world, it's coming from God. That is very strong, it's very powerful. In Nehemiah, he said, don't weep. This day is holy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. There is a strength that comes from being happy in Christ. If you're sad, if you're discouraged, if you're depressed, and that's your life, you're going to be a weak Christian. The devil is just going to slap you around. But when the Holy Spirit gives you joy, it doesn't matter what the devil does. It doesn't matter how he tempts you. "That's not what I want. I have joy in God." It doesn't matter how he afflicts you. Let me give you another example. Paul and Silas, they were preachers, and I have not been in their shoes. They went about preaching, and they would get beaten and thrown in jail many times. Leonard Ravenhill used to say that the Apostle Paul, when he would go to a new town, he wouldn't check into the hotel, he would check into the local prison, because he was always getting in trouble. They were always beating him. They were always putting him in prison. Did he get angry? Was he scared? Was he complaining? What does it say that Paul and Silas did when they were in the jail in Philippi? You remember? What did they do? They sang. They were singing hymns late at night. They were in chains. The bars were shut. They were in the jail cell. And they were singing hymns. And the prisoners were listening. And the guard was listening. And maybe they thought, where does this joy come from? These Christians, everyone hates them. They're rejected, they're beaten, they're locked up in prison, and yet they keep singing. What is it that makes them happy? Do you see? They had a strength because they were joyful. Because they kept their eyes on Jesus Christ. They were not looking at their circumstances. They kept their eyes on Him. They were strong in the Lord. No one could destroy them. No one could stop them. That night, the jail cell went open. There was an earthquake. The guard got saved and baptized. It was like you couldn't stop these men because they had a joy that came from God that no one could take away. We see lots of examples of joy in the Bible. And it's a very beautiful thing. It's a very holy thing. Christian, you need this more in your life. Put away the discouragement. Put away the sad face. Put away the complaining and the whining and the discontentment. Put on joy. Put on happiness. Sing a new song to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. As I was thinking about this subject of joy, I realized joy and singing, joy and praise, joy and thanksgiving go together. They really do. A joyful heart makes a thankful mouth. A joyful heart makes a singing Christian. Do you sing? When you're alone, do you sing? Do you give thanks to God when you pray? Or do you just pray, Lord, help me. Lord, give me this. Lord, I need this. Lord, why aren't you doing this? You know what? Thankfulness is very powerful. I found this out when I was back in America. One of the old men in my church, he said this. He said, thankfulness is the seedbed of faith. What does that mean? What is a seedbed? It means it's very good soil. Thankfulness is like rich soil, very expensive, full of life. If you put a seed there, it will grow very fast. He said, if you have thankfulness, one little seed of faith, it will shoot up. And I realized he's true. His words were true. If you have a thankful heart, you're not thinking about all the hard things that have happened. You're thinking about all of the ways that God has blessed you. You're remembering all of His benefits. And you're thanking Him. You know what happens when you pray like that? When you actually stop to give, I don't know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, just to give thanks to God, it makes you remember, yes, God is real. He has helped me so many times. It will strengthen your faith that He will help me today. He will help me tomorrow. That's why I think it says in Philippians not to be anxious, but to pray with thanksgiving. A person that's worried and praying is totally opposite from a person that's thankful and praying. This person doesn't have faith, and their prayers aren't going to go anywhere. If they're just worried and anxious, that's not good. When you pray, give thanks, and it will destroy, it will push away those anxieties. So we need this joy in our life. The Spirit will give us more joy, which in turn will give us more thankfulness. And faith, the praise will start to come out. The good words, the blessing of God with our tongue will come when we remember His goodness, His faithfulness, the gospel, Christ, our home in heaven. When we put our mind on the good things of God, on the promises of God, then our joy comes, this fruit of the Spirit. So these are some examples of joy, but there's one more direction we need to look, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus, as I said before, He is the great example of all of these fruits of the Spirit. The most loving man, Jesus. The most joyful man, Jesus Christ. Did you know Jesus was a man full of joy? You say, wait. Today we sang the song, Man of Sorrows. He was a man of sorrows, yes? But Psalm 45 says, because you've loved righteousness and hated wickedness, talking about Christ, the Father says, I will anoint you with the oil of joy above your companions, above everyone else around you. You will have the Spirit on you, this oil, and you will have joy like no one else has. Jesus Christ, He wept over the sins of others. He suffered in the garden and He suffered on the cross for our sake. But He had joy in His Father. He had joy in the things of God. Think about the life of Jesus. It's amazing. I think a lot of times we forget this, or we don't see it quite so clearly. How is it He would teach His disciples to rejoice like He did? He would teach them things like this. When people persecute you, rejoice, for your reward is great in heaven. How did He say that? Was He a hypocrite? No. Everything He said, He Himself did. When He said, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the left so they can slap your left cheek. How did He know that? Where did He get that example from? It came from His life. He lived a life of thankfulness and joy so that even when men didn't believe in Him, they didn't appreciate Him, they tried to use Him to go up. They tried to use Him to get money. They tried to use Him to get blessing in their life. Or they hated Him and they called Him a devil. They spit on Him. They tried to throw Him off the cliff. They tried to stone Him with stones. But do you know what would happen? I think many times we don't read but half of the glories of Christ. I think He would patiently and joyfully endure all these things. Can't you see Christ? After having been rejected by His own hometown, going off in the silence alone to pray and giving thanks to His Father and saying, Father, You've done all things well. Why do I say that? Because look at this. Look in Luke chapter 10. I think what we're reading here is a small example of what was happening every day in the life of Christ. Luke chapter 10. Verse 21. Many people, like verse 13 says, many cities did not repent when they heard Him preach. He would go, people didn't get saved. At least, not most of the people. And there were very few miracles. And yet, in verse 21, He said, in that same hour, He rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave Him this joy, this fruit of joy. And He said, I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was Your gracious will. Even when men did not believe in Him, He would say, Father, thank You that today no one believed in Me when I preached the gospel. That only My little fishermen and My tax collectors and My little disciples, You revealed it to them. Father, what a wise plan that You would hide it from the educated, that You would hide it from the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests, and You would reveal it to these men. You see, it's like no matter what you did to Jesus Christ, He always had joy. You could not break His relationship with His Father. He would never doubt His Father. He was always giving thanks. came from the Holy Spirit being powerfully at work in his life. Now I realize he had the Holy Spirit without measure. We have the Holy Spirit with measure. We have what the Bible calls a down payment, a little piece of what we will have in heaven. But we can enter into this, and we should. Christian, you need to develop this thankfulness. You need to pursue it. Lord, make me like Jesus, who was always giving thanks. Don't be like the lost people who always complain, who always question God, doubt God. Be like Christ, joyful in his heart, joyful to obey the Father. It says in Hebrews, for the joy set before him, he went to the cross. Now, I know that he was greatly intimidated by the wrath of God, the punishment that he would receive, not from men, but from God on the cross, from the curse, from the suffering in his soul. He was terrified. He was intimidated by this. We know that in Scripture. But yet, even when it became the darkest hour, he still was able to pray through it and say, and look and see the end result and say, Father, your will be done. I take my joy not in how I will feel upon the cross. I take my joy in the goal of obeying you and glorifying you. I take my joy in saving my people from their sins. I take my joy in building the kingdom of heaven and crushing the devil. He was looking beyond the problem, beyond the suffering. He was looking to the end result. And so he had joy. And even when he went to the cross, he went there with joy. He was doing it for the joy that he knew was coming on the other side. Suffering then, but glory to follow. Sadness and torment then, but delight and happiness and joy in heaven. Jesus Christ had joy, and no one could take it away, and no one could destroy it, and we can have this too. Jesus said in the book of John, in that day, you will have joy, and no one will take your joy away from you. The lost person, always he loses his joy. He gets a new phone, he's happy, then he loses his joy. He gets a new job, he's happy, but then he loses his joy. He gets a wife, he's happy, but then she dies and he loses his joy. Or they start arguing or they get a divorce and he loses his joy. But there's a true joy that the Holy Spirit gives us when we're saved. And it won't go away. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So what are some advantages of joy? Well, the advantage, like I said, if you have joy, when trials come, you won't curse God, you won't doubt God. If instead you keep your eyes on Christ, you will glorify Him in your trials. 1 Peter says, count it all joy when you go through trials. That can only happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a great advantage to have joy. It makes our life happy and light. When we keep our eyes on Christ, we don't go through our life depressed and sad. That's a big advantage too. We become a sweet smell to God, like sweet fruit. God is happy. God is glorified when He looks at us, rejoicing every day. What does the Bible say? Rejoice in the Lord always. When we rejoice in the Lord, always, every day, no matter what happens, Lord, today I'm going to be happy, I'm going to rejoice in You. It's sweet smelling to God. It's sweet fruit to God. God likes it. It blesses us. It helps us. It protects us from the devil. When he comes around, if we have joy, we don't need to listen to the devil. We're not tempted by his bait. That's not what makes us happy. You know what else it does? It helps Christians around you. You know, the truth is, Christians suffer a lot. And Christians are attacked by the devil a lot. And Christians have constantly the world pressing on them. And Christians, even in their own body, even in their own flesh, they're at war. And sometimes we get very weak and very beat up. And we need help from each other. Do you know what it's like to, you're having a miserable day as a Christian. Let's say you feel like your joy has disappeared. Lord, I'm really struggling. And maybe you're frustrated. Maybe there's a situation you've become angry, or maybe you've realized how much you've failed in some area. And then you get around a brother or a sister who's just rude or grumpy. You know what that's like? Or maybe they're just as much doubting and complaining to God as you are. Do you know what that's like? It's like rubbing salt in a wound. It doesn't feel good. But there's a certain kind of Christian that when you're having a hard time, when you're struggling, you want to go to them because they have joy. They will encourage you. They will help lift you up. They will put a balm in your wounds. We need this joy so that we can encourage others. How are you going to encourage someone if you don't have joy yourself? There's another advantage. The last thing I would say is, it's a great advantage, Christian. It makes you very holy. Because the lost people don't understand. And they will scratch their heads. And they will think and wonder, why does she do that? Why does he talk that way? He's always giving thanks. He's always reading his Bible. He's always telling me about Jesus Christ. To be happy, to be joyful in God, it has an effect on unbelievers because they don't have joy. And so when we let our light shine, it speaks to them that there is a true God who really helps us, who really comforts us, who really is a great treasure. A sad Christian, a depressed Christian, is not a good testimony. It makes Jesus look boring. It makes Jesus look small. But when we have joy, it shines light even to unbelievers. It's sweet fruit and the sweet smell even to them. This is a holy life. This is the life, Christian, that you need to pursue. So now, let me make some application and we'll be finished. First, my application is for the Christian. You need to realize when you fall into depression and discouragement and anxiety and worrying and complaining, it's a sin. It's not just a weakness, it's a sin. Anxiety is a sin. Complaining is a sin. Grumbling. What we want is joy. So treat it very important in your mind. If your face falls, Lord, what's happened? Lord, put my heart back on you. Because if you just stay there and think, this doesn't really matter. I can be sad as a Christian and that's all right. It's not true. The Lord wants us to be a happy people. Now, it's right to weep for the lost because of their sin. It's right to repent in tears when we sin, but it is not right to stay miserable and depressed. That is not the will of God. That is not a holy Christian life. That is not humility. We need joy. That's what we need. That's what glorifies Christ in heaven. That's the first application. The second application I would say is this: be actively pursuing joy. Why do I say actively? Because if you look in Galatians 5, it says, verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Do you know what that means? It means you don't just sit in a chair or lie on your bed and pray, Lord, just hit me with joy. Lord, just change my mind and just make me a happy person. No, it says, if you live by the Spirit, which means He caused you to be born again, He came into you, now day by day, walk by the Spirit. Walk means put your foot forward and lean. Take another step. Take another step. These things are the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, they are natural. They will come with God's grace and help. But they are also things that we want to pursue, that we want to be thinking about and actively walking in. Was I joyful today? Do I love this person? Was I patient? We really want to have that in our mind. And we want to say, Lord, grow me in this. Because in this, I will be like Christ. In this is Christ's likeness. Third application for the Christian, I would say, pray. If you get down, pray. Because God will answer your prayers. If you are saved and the Holy Spirit is in you, you know, a lot of lost people, they're just asleep spiritually. They're dead. But a Christian has the Spirit of God. And if you pray, the Spirit will start to work. This is our birthright. This is promised to us right here. You can take this verse to the Lord and say, Lord, you said the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Lord, I need more joy. Give me this promise. Give me this fruit by the Holy Spirit. You put your Spirit in me. Now help me. I need your help. Father, give me joy. And He will. There's not a time when a Christian desperately cries out to God that He doesn't listen and answer. The Lord hears those cries. Pray. Fix your mind on Christ. Read the Bible. Get back in the Word. The joy will start to flow again. Just like the drunkard, what he does to get his joy, he gets drunk, he feels happy, then he's sober, and he's sad. So what does he do? He goes back to drinking. He goes back to alcohol. Do that with Christ. Go to Christ, get joy. If you forget, if you lose your mind, if you get distracted, go back to Christ and drink again. That's not a sinful illustration. The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Lost people drink and drink and drink wine. Christians are constantly drinking in, being filled with the Spirit. Go back to the Bible. Go back to Christ. Go back to prayer. The joy will return. Our joy cannot be stolen or taken away from us. My last application is for the lost person. Are you lost? Are you not a true Christian? I have something to say to you. The reason why you don't have true joy in your life is because you don't have Christ. Christ is the fountain of joy and life. You will never be happy. If you don't get saved, if you don't get forgiven of your sins, that heavy burden will stay on your back and it will take you down, down, down to hell. And in hell, there is no joy. You need to come, confess your sins. You need to give up your sinful life, your selfish life. Surrender your life to God. If He forgives you of your sin, you will be happy. If He saves you, you will have true joy. And one day, you'll have it forever in heaven. You know where we are going? I'm talking to you lost people. Do you know where we Christians are going? We're going to heaven to be with God. Are you going there? If you don't have Christ, you don't have joy. What you are trying to get from this world and from your friends and from your family, it will all be lost. It will be taken at death. If you come to Christ, you'll have a true joy. If you come to Christ, He'll take you to the land of joy in heaven. Joy in God, happiness in God. Again, the Bible says, in your presence, the presence of God is fullness of joy. Imagine like standing in front of the sun, but not being burned up with fire, just light, full light, blinding light coming upon you, so bright you can barely see the light, and being so filled with joy, you just fall on the ground. You're just filled with happiness and delight. That's something like what it will be in heaven. To come near God and to see His face, we will fall on the ground and our souls will be so filled with happiness because we'll be with God. He's the best. He's the reason for everything. You need God. Please, don't stay in sin. Don't stay in this world. Come to Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, bless these truths to your people, to those that know you, and make them joyful, Lord. Make me joyful. I want more happiness in you. Oh, Lord, make me like the Christians in history that I've known, like the brothers and sisters I've even seen and met in my own life. Their joy is so far beyond mine. Lord, make me more happy. I pray, Father, take away whatever things, whatever would hold us back from shouting your praise, singing your glory, giving thanks to you all the time. Open our mouths, Lord. Put joyful thoughts in our mind. And, oh, Father, make us like Christ, even in trials, to never stop rejoicing in you. And Father, I pray for the lost here that are living in sin, for any false Christians in our midst today. Please, let your arrow pierce their heart. Show them their sin. Show them their emptiness. And bring them to Christ. Save them, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. We'll take a few minutes and kind of have a break, and then we'll have the baptism soon.